The following presentation is a production of Ride the Wave Media.
This is Courtney Pearl, pagan witch, card reader, healer, spiritualist, Celtic priestess, teacher, artist, and mystic seeker. I am discovering true magic in the world, and I wish to share it with you. So, we're going to start today's episode pulling a card, and because of the topic of today's episode, we're going to use an oracle deck that I do not bring out very often. It's called the Sacred Rebels Oracle Deck, and it's one that I keep in my sock drawer, actually. I keep it for my own personal pulling a card rituals for morning and night. I won't say I'm that consistent. I'm not going to lie to you and act like I am just that good at always pulling a card. But I do keep this one for personal use. And so I have not brought it out for public readings before. But today's episode, just the topic of it, it's going to fit so nicely with this deck, especially the cover of the box has a picture of a young child at the bottom and a woman in the middle and then an elderly woman. So kind of the maiden, the mother and the crone type energy. We're going to be talking about generational healing and generational trauma and generational magic, of course. So I would like to pull a card from this deck for today's episode. And remember, we always start our episode pulling a card, and this card is, we are trusting, belongs to whoever is listening at this moment in time, that there is something about this card you needed to hear today. So the card that I've pulled is the number 24, and it's new birth, comma, guarded vigil. It's interesting because this is a woman, and it's, the card is almost all in black and white. But she has, it's like she's tending to a very new plant. There's this green growth coming up through the center of the card. And right there on her shoulder, so you can see the green in the leaves growing, and you can see a light green butterfly sitting on her shoulder. And she's kind of tending to the plant, but also she's tending to this little fragile butterfly on her shoulder. And I think this is a clear message to anyone who's listening that what you are needing to hear today is there is something very new growing within you. And it can be outwardly, maybe some new beginnings happening in your life. There's some new job, new life, new growth. Of course, we're coming into springtime, so there is going to be new growth everywhere anyway. But I feel very strongly that this card has a more internal, inward feeling about it. So it's about looking inwardly at what is brand new for you coming through, coming forward. You're starting to see yourself in a new way that you have not considered before. You're starting to cultivate skills or cultivate this new way of life, and it almost feels very fragile. It's very vulnerable, and it needs to be guarded and protected on its way. It may even be that you're starting to shift into a stronger, more self-reliant sort of a vibe. Like, I'm coming into a place where there are certain things I won't tolerate anymore. There is more I need to do for myself now. And even though that's sort of a strength, or it's coming forward as like, I'm going to stand my ground a little more, it's also going to need to be protected as if it's something brand new. So although this is a very strong choice and a very strong path that you're starting out on here, with this new part, it's important to remember that just like a horse foal is born and will one day be walking and running on very strong legs, that foal is not going to be born walking on strong legs. That foal is going to need some gentle love and care in getting up on those wibbly wobbly legs and just starting something brand new. So I need you to take a moment to think about what that might be for you. And what we're going to work on through this episode is talking a little bit about that exact thing of shifting into new spaces. And when we're doing that, we're creating magic. So we've talked about the creation of magic, making our lives magical, making rituals, making spells, doing what feels right for you moving forward. But I truly believe that in my healing work, when I work with people in the emotional and energy healing world, I truly believe that any calling you are making out into the universe that says, this is what I want to have happen. This is the new way I want my life to go. And that is what creating spells is all about, creating stories, creating this new story of your life. In that process, I don't think we can talk about any of that or fully begin to witness ourselves until we really talk about generational healing. Because there are so many things, so many aspects of ourselves that we may never get to the bottom of all of it. No matter what we do and no matter how much we try, we will never, ever fully know all the things about ourselves. But to understand generational things is to understand a lot. And I usually try to add in some stories, some folklore into the topic of discussion today. But instead of pulling from some ancient folklore or even something that has been around a long time, I'm going to have you look at the movie Encanto, Disney's Encanto. Because when this movie came out and I watched it with my kids, I couldn't believe all of the things that I had been devoting my time studying and learning about when it comes to healing work, and have this movie come out and explain it or give examples of it so explicitly. I was going around, I still am going around saying, have you seen this movie, Encanto? And people are like, no, because if they don't have kids, they probably haven't. But I'm telling people who don't have kids and don't have any reason to watch a Disney movie, please watch this movie. You must see this movie. I don't care what age you are. In my line of work, when you are observing the world in such a magical way, when you are able to see and feel energies, and I believe everybody has the potential for that if they seek that. In my line of work, my experience, everything that you can see and feel in a person when they are with their family, especially if you can be around their family, many generations of their family, it's almost like you can feel and taste the things in the air around everyone involved that makes them who they are. And it's interesting because I married into a family with a lot of their own family trauma, many tragic things, husband's family, a lot of people, a lot of family members that have died young, unfortunately. And when you get a chance to be around such grief or people who are grieving, and just when it seems like they are done grieving, or if there is even such a thing, or gotten back into a normal day-to-day life, something else happens and the grieving starts all over again. And I have learned to become very comfortable, very friendly with death and grief. It's something that I have thought a lot about and have been around. And I actually have a very respectful relationship with that. But the movie Encanto, it starts out with this woman who has three babies and her husband dies tragically running from some oppressors that are chasing them, and they have to seek safety. And because of this trauma that they've experienced, they are receive a magical gift, and their family is going to be able to have these magical gifts that will help the town to heal from what they've been through. And they're very, very special because every member of this family, when they come of age, they get to open a door that is magically made for them in this magical house. And each member of the family is going to get a magical gift. And it might be strength or the ability to grow flowers or talk to animals or have prophecies or cook healing foods that when someone eats it, their ailments are magically disappeared. Superhuman hearing, all of these really cool magical gifts that they receive. And the message is, unbeknownst to grandma, that your value in this family is tied to your gift. And when one of the members of the family does not receive her gift, it's very confusing. And she is the main character who is her purpose, her value to this family is questioned. Even though the family is incredibly loving and incredibly close, it begs the question and it is forcing everyone in the family to look at what these gifts actually mean about them and how they value each other. And at the end of the movie, there isn't really a bad guy, which is my favorite part about all of the newest Pixar Disney movies, really. It's like there's no villain in this story necessarily. It is about this family coming to an awareness of what toxic traits they had been perpetuating for each other and how they can begin to heal and begin to witness that and to begin to make changes to how they treat each other, to how they see each other, and to how they support and love each other. And it's all because of this one girl who didn't receive a gift. It was her gift. The gift was her, just her, not the magic, right? So I want to propose some things today, and I want you to have an open mind as you listen to how when a lot of clients come to me for healing work, whether it's Reiki or emotional processing, there are indications to me when something may have been a generational trauma or generational energy that was passed on to them. Okay. It's just a second. I'm going to adjust my camera here for a second. It's just, my camera was on the wrong angle and it was driving me crazy. Better, I think. Okay. Sorry about that. I'll try to maybe edit that out or not. Maybe that's just the real reel. Adjusting my camera. Okay. Generational healing. So there is some trauma and healing markers that did not start with us. That is actually even before our own birth, before our own conception. And this can be explained in psychology. It can be explained in the mystical energetic world. Whatever way you look at it, I think that we can agree that there are things we are dealing with in our lifetime, obstacles and belief systems that may not have even started with us, that were something that we are either it's written into our DNA from the generations that came before us or from experiences they've had that are passed on. The trauma and the effects of the trauma are passed on. It's kind of like for anybody that's done any traveling around Europe, I haven't been to a lot of the places like Germany and Poland and France that I have heard people talk about visiting those places and that there is still there's an awareness that there was trauma from the war still there. Even though probably mostly everybody who actually experienced the war or who lived through it has passed on by now, these are the generations of people who have come after that. And just speaking to my friends who are from Germany and who have family members living in Germany, and they let me know that the effects of the war have changed the generations that have come after that, and that there is still things like when they see us stand up and put our hand on our heart and say the Pledge of Allegiance, they almost cringe because patriotism is maybe played down a bit more in Germany at this point in time. There is something that comes from those experiences that happened before we were even born. And I'm going to give some examples. I read a book in my learning, in my education, called Emotional Inheritance. And this is a psychoanalyst who took case studies where she believes there is a great correlation between some of the traumas that we experience now when people are seeking therapy and seeking healing and seeking help, that if they know what came before them, if they can find out what their ancestors went through, can aid in their healing. So she talks about one case study in particular that I was always fascinated with, where she talks about a man who was going through a breakup with his boyfriend. And it had been 2 years that he had been dealing with the pain and grief of this relationship ending. And she started talking to him about his father. And he was saying, well, my father had actually unalived himself in probably when he was a child. It was a very long time ago. And he says, of course, that's very traumatic. I mean, that's something that my family has a lot of grief over. But, oh no, I'm sorry, I'm getting the details wrong. So it's not his father, it was his father's father. His father had trauma because his grandfather had unalived himself when his father was a child. So he was talking about that trauma of, like, my dad had always been really loving and supportive of me. Even as I came out of the closet as gay, he was always really loving and supportive of me. But he says, I can't place it. I have no proof whatsoever. But I have a feeling that my grandfather, who had never met, he had never met before, had those struggles depression and things like that, that caused him to unalive himself, that had happened because perhaps his grandfather was also gay. And he just said, I don't know why I feel that way. I have absolutely no proof. It's just a feeling I've always had. And as he worked through that, he was able to heal some of the grief that he was having over this relationship that had ended, that for some reason, even though he knew the relationship, it was best that had ended, he could agree that he was ready to move on and ready to find love again. But for some reason, he was just having so much struggle with this relationship ending. And then once he was able to kind of work through what it would have felt like for his grandfather to not be with the person he loved, because he could never have in his time and place in his generation come out of the closet and been authentic with who he was. Once he worked through some of those details, he was able to really, for the first time, move on from that relationship and find love again. And what's interesting is in the book, she outlines this whole story, this case study, but she says he does have a conversation at one point many years later. He talks to his aunt, who was older than his father when their father had died, and she was able to discuss with him that, yes, in fact, their father had been gay, was homosexual, and had wanted to have a relationship with a man and couldn't because he was married and had children with his wife. And that led to a lot of his mental health issues and things that he struggled with. So when he found out that every feeling that he had innately had, his intuition had told him was true, it released a new level of healing in him. Because as he began to heal his ability to be with the person he loves, to find love with another person that was also healing the generations of trauma and pain that had come before him. And then when I'm doing healing work with people, there are some things, elements that come up that depending on certain energy things, like the colors that I ask them to pull out of their body. If you have a certain color and you are saying, yeah, this color is black, which doesn't always indicate generational healing, but sometimes depending on the emotion point that we're pulling out and all the heavy energy that has to do with that, I will say, does this feel like it might be a generational issue? Is this something that didn't start with you? Could it perhaps be something that happened two generations before you? And I'm going to talk a little bit more about my own experiences in that department, but I did have another friend that I was doing the healing art school with, and she had talked about this, and she had talked about in her own experience, she always had to work out feelings of abandonment. Feelings of abandonment came up quite often for her in her healing sessions and emotional processing. And she thought it was very interesting because she had distinct memories of times when she thought or had fear that her dad was going to leave her, and that that fear of abandonment had carried into her marriage and her relationships later in life too. This fear of abandonment was always coming up for her and was, you know, subconsciously causing a lot of issues, which you know it can, but not intentionally, not consciously, just was coming up a lot because fear is not a very high vibration. And when we are experiencing fear, we are not able to experience the higher vibrations of love that connects us with people. So if a lot of our arguments and our issues and in relationships are coming based on fear, we're going to get to the bottom of where that fear comes from. So as she was doing her healing work on fear of abandonment, she was very confused because she thought, I haven't actually experienced fear or incidences of abandonment in my lifetime. That's not something that she had experienced much of. And so when questioning, why would I have this fear of abandonment then if I'm having kind of the symptoms or the PTSD symptoms of an event that didn't actually happen to me, where would that have come from? And in doing her own family research, and I know for us here in Utah, those of us in the Mormon culture, family genealogy is a big deal. It's a big, big, big thing. And so culturally, we are all very big on getting our family history together, researching our genealogy. And there's a lot of religious reasons for that. But for this particular incident, it was incredibly helpful for her to go back into stories of her family generations back and realize that there was a period of time where several of her ancestors in succession in a row had the patriarch or man of the family had passed away young or had left the family. And so that gave her an incredible awareness as to where that feeling of abandonment might be coming from for her. And when she pulls that out, when she moves that energy out of her body, she is not just healing that energy in herself, but she's actually taking it, empowering herself to take it for her generations before. And so spiritually, if you believe in the spirit and the spirit world, it would be kind of like our ancestors lining up and saying, I'm so sorry I didn't deal with that in my lifetime, or that I had those experiences in my lifetime and passed on that fear to you. But I'm here for you today to gather around you, to support you, to put our hands on your shoulders and to help you move this energy out of your body so that you no longer have to live with that pain and that low energy in your body. And that is a very powerful experience for my clients to get to have. It is magical. It is like doing magic. And whether you're making it into a spell or ritual or a healing process or a session, you can create those circumstances where you get to say, I no longer want to carry the burdens of my ancestors. I no longer want to live my life with these same patterns showing up over and over and over again. And psychologists, I mean, in the psychology world, you can definitely see the patterns such as, you know, anger and rage coming up for parents to their children. If that is how they experience parenting, and if children experience that from their parents, it's more likely that that is the only way they will know how to carry that on to their children. So you can see generational healing in that same way as what was done to me, I do to others, unless I decide to break those chains and create new patterns for my children. So all of this work that we are doing to witness ourselves and to witness what our bodies hold is in the effort to break patterns and chains that do not serve future generations, that we do no longer want to ripple out into the world and have our children experience as well. It's up to us to do all of that hard work, which is wonderful and empowering, and it also sucks. I mean, if I can hear the voices of your ancestors right now, I'm hearing them say, "I'm so sorry." In my white light self, with all the lessons I've learned, having crossed over into the plane of the other world or the existence of the spirit realm, I would not have wanted you to deal with all of this. I would never have purposely passed this on to you, son or daughter. But here we are, and we are dealing with it. So I want to talk a little bit about my, just give you another personal experience of my own, which is that before I had done a lot of my own genealogy or ancestry, I only knew certain things, like very vague facts and information, because mostly I was just not interested. I mean, ever before this, I would be like, yeah. So our ancestors did whatever. It wasn't something that I actively sought out. And I have cousins that are, one cousin in particular that's a librarian, and his favorite thing in the whole world, he's very good at doing our family history. So when I have a question, I go to him. But the point is, because I come from my most recent ancestral history, which is not very old at all, is the Mormon pioneers who came across the plains in the 1800s and settled here in Utah. And if you talk to a lot of generational Mormons that are not converts to the church, that is their story. If they live in Utah or they're from Utah, they'll say, yep, my ancestors were doing the hand carts across the plains and all the way through the mountains. And they were there in whichever company was with Brigham Young that said, this is the place, and settled here in Utah. Unfortunately, that means there is a lot of trauma connected to that history. So if you don't know your family history, I was kind of working with my groups that we were discussing the pain and grief of having that be our part of our history. That because the pioneers came here and because of the events that happened when they came here, a lot of active genocide to the indigenous people, things that were very harmful and painful, and that people who are descendants of that feel the pain and regret and the want to heal, the want to do what we can to heal that within ourselves, to decolonize, to work through that. And I didn't know a lot of my own history, so we were doing just a guided meditation where the leader of our group was kind of helping us to work through some of those generational traumas. And she was saying, I'm going to take you back through with your ancestors. And she had us do in meditation where she said, you're going to imagine a red thread connected from your belly. And you can see that red thread stretch in front of you and behind you from your back. And if you follow that red string back, you will meet those who came before you in your line, in your ancestral line. And as I walked myself back to meet the women who came before me, I had such vivid images in my mind of a woman who had come across the plains, as one of the pioneer settlers, the Mormon pioneer settlers, and she had lost all of her children along the way. And suddenly the pain and grief of my own infertility came forward at this time. As I saw this image in my mind, I realized that not only is my infertility something that I had to work through and heal and understand about myself, I need to work through the pain of that that is connected to the ancestors that lost their children. And what I kept feeling from this particular woman in my vision was that she was very angry, because if she had come across the plains to get a better life for her future, for her children, and for their future, then what was it all for? What was she here for? She's coming into this valley, in the Salt Lake Valley, childless, without her children. And they had been buried on the road along the way. And now she felt incredibly trapped and grief-stricken and really questioning, what is the point of all of this? What was the point of following this trek of religious fanatics across the plains into the valley and coming here so that her children could have a better future? And they all died. And that was an incredibly powerful moment for me, because as I did more research and as I looked into the stories of the pioneers that came across the plains and settled here, I was incredibly sad for them, especially the women, because there were groups that came with the Mormon pioneers thinking that they were coming to a better life. And actually, a lot of them were told that they would be going to California, that they would be a part, they would be going to where there would be a state in the U.S. But they were, for lack of a better term, tricked by Brigham Young, who came here and saw this valley and said the words, those famous words, "This is the place." And I can only imagine a lot of those women who were forced to marry men at that point because their husbands had died along the trail, or because their children had died along the trail. And now, where were they to go? What were they to do now? This company they were with was not taking them to California like they had thought. And now, because polygamy was very much a thing, they were going to be forced to marry men just so that they would have protection and a family to provide for them, and probably father, you know, children on them. So this is very painful. This is something that I really want to bring forward for people like me who are descendants of those pioneers. Whether you're still in the church or not, it doesn't matter, because that generational trauma does carry within us into our bodies and into our DNA. And it was powerful for me to associate that to some of the pain and grief that I've had in my lifetime with my infertility, or, you know, things that have come up for me in my healing work of my own. So I always tell people, because although the Mormon Church and those who are really good at doing their genealogy and knowing their family's history, and for the family members that kept a written record like journals and letters and things like that, that is a great privilege to have those items, to have that history and to know what happened. I want to reach out for a moment to take consideration of all of the people who are descendants of slaves and of people of color, people of all over the world who are not so privileged to have record or documentation of their family history, people who from closed adoptions do not know their birth family's history and do not know the genetic history of their family. they are working at a disadvantage, or so it may seem, because they don't have that information to help with their healing. And to that, I would like to say, even if you do not have the information available to you, your body remembers. You have that information written into your DNA. It's part of you. It gets carried on from generation to generation, whether you have that documentation or not. And to that, I would very much recommend doing some of the spiritual and energetic work of accessing that information within your own body. And that's something that I do in the IPT emotional process session, is I work with people who I say, it doesn't actually matter if this is a logical, practical memory that you have, because we are working with feelings and we are working with what your body is going to bring forward. So I've told people in sessions before, if you're looking to do generational work, start within. Even if you aren't able or don't want to do the research on your family history, start within. Look within. Start with a meditation. Take yourself on a journey and back into your own family, into your own past. Because it was part of my journey to go back and to see what the recent history of my family had done and been through, but to go back even further than that and try to connect with my Celtic ancestors and bring forward what healing and what connection that I had with my mother land of the Celtic people, which put me on the trajectory to becoming what I am today, a Celtic priestess. So it was all part of that generational healing that led me to where I am now. So I do want to just address really quick that part of this work, if you are in the magical realm, if you are what I like to call myself a swinraig, Welsh for a charmer or a charmer woman who does magic. If you are in the world of wanting to explore witchcraft and magic and things like that, there is one thing about generational healing that you may particularly have to address, and that is witch wounds. It even was quite a big step for me to be able to associate myself with the word witch, or to say, yes, I am a witch. I do witchcraft. I do work in the realm of magic. Or instead of just being very careful and saying, I do energy healing and I'm just a simple girl who likes to like crystals, put crystals in my house and like that. Sometimes I hang a broom above my door, but that's just to make it so that bad energy doesn't come in the house. You know, it's just a very simple, no, that's witchcraft. Please. Blowing out candles on your birthday is witchcraft, okay? So I think that it's really important to claim our identity, which is me starting this podcast and saying, I am a witch. I am a pagan witch. I am a folk witch. I am okay with saying that because it's my identity. It's part of who I am. And in saying that, I need to come to terms with the fact that those that came before me, that did the work that I do, that speak out when something feels unjust, when I talk about energy healing and vibrational energy and rituals and practice and worship and whatever it is that I talk about, that anybody else having done that in past generations would have been called a witch and would have been persecuted. Even women who never used the word witch, but would say, you can come to me if you need help with something. I know a few tricks and I know a few things that might help you. I can put together a charm. I can put together a blessing. They were called witches and they were burned for it. And as we know from the Salem witch trials, sometimes those women were quite simply just a woman who spoke her mind or had an opinion. And that's all it took for her to be gathered up and tortured and imprisoned and eventually hung or burned. And it's important to address that when talking about generational healing, because my fears are not just stemming from my own ancestors, my own bloodline, but from the experiences of the witches and the people who came before me who do what I do. I was once told in a past life regression session that I was one of the women in the Salem witch trials, and that in many generations of my past lives, I was a woman in the village who was known for helping people, who was known for knowing things about herbs and medicines and charms and sometimes just being the woman in the village who was just a little bit odd and nobody wanted to talk to because they were afraid of her. So if that gives you any insight into who I am or what I'm all about, then I don't know what does, because that gives me a lot of insight into myself. Okay, and then when doing generational healing, when doing an integrated process session, when I do processing healing work with people, if they need some help and support in vibrational energy, I often ask a client if they would like me to muscle test and figure out what rocks or crystals would be a good support for them in what they need, or if they're not much of a crystal person, that's okay, because Bach flower essences are incredibly helpful as well. I don't sell those things myself, but I know how to get them or where to access them. And if you had a session that was working with generational healing or was helping you to clear a lot of negative energy that didn't start with you, you would want to have a little support in helping you hold that vibrational frequency. And Bach flower essences are little tinctures of that flower that holds that vibrational energy. It's just the essence of the flower. It's not the flower itself. So typically they're okay to ingest because the flower is no longer in the mixture, but has held the essence of the flower. So those are taken, you know, drops under the tongue, or sometimes it doesn't even require the Bach flower essence or the tincture itself, but to name the flower and tap it into your chest for however many days that you might need that support. So that's just a little tidbit of information on the magical side. If that's something that you are interested in looking into, I would recommend that you seek me out and we will get that figured out together. Okay, so perfect. My question from a listener today was going to be, what if I don't actually know my own family history, which I did kind of touch on in this episode talking about that. And what I personally can do for people, if this is the case, they were adopted, they don't know their family history, but they would like to do some generational work to heal and be witness to some of those things that will help them. And I can do a guided meditation or, you know, taking you through during a Reiki session. I will use my drum to help bring a person into a very relaxed alpha brainwave state. And then I can guide you through a guided meditation or sort of like a journey. If you are of the shamanic practice, they take you on a little bit of a journey. It's kind of like leaving your body for a moment and going back in time and discovering what sort of things you need to be aware of to help you to begin to heal. Okay. So that is something that even if we do not have that physical evidence of what your family history is, that does not mean that there cannot be powerful generational healing done when working through some of the things that you're finding stuck in this lifetime. So if you feel like a pattern keeps coming up, you're like, I keep thinking I'm never going to find love. I keep thinking I'm never going to have enough money. I cannot get past that. I just can't seem to believe it. Then that might be for you. So reach out to me and I'm going to let you know how to do that after we talk about next week, our episode is going to be on the balance of masculine and feminine energy. This is super important for when you're creating spells and when you are creating manifestation, or when you are just going through your daily life, understanding yourself better and knowing what the masculine and feminine energies actually are. Because I'm going to give you a little teaser. It has nothing to do with being a boy or a girl. It has nothing to do with gender. So masculine and feminine energies, it's going to be an amazing, amazing episode. I can't wait for that one. I would like to invite you to take what we've talked about today and use it to find magic in your everyday life. Even if that means in your next quiet moment, talking to your own ancestors and listening to what they have to tell you. Use magic in your everyday life to strengthen relationships, heal, prosper, and thrive. If you would like more information about these and other subjects, you can look for me on my social media, on Instagram @prism_healing. I do live card readings quite often on my Instagram, and I like to post about all of my resources and information as I am studying them. So that's a great place to follow me. You can also find me on Facebook, Courtney Pearl and Courtney Pearl's Prism Healing, for more information. Events coming up, I will be doing my Tarot for Tips, which I do every month, a Healing Through Art workshop, and my kids' workshop, Heart Smart Art, which is an immersive experience to raise emotional intelligence for children and adults. I hold each of these events every month, so please look for my website, prism-healing.com. That is where I will list all of my events coming up that you can come to. And I also have a blog for each of my podcast episodes on my website. So I will resource any books that I've mentioned or anything else that might be helpful to you. And you can read about it after you've listened to the episode. Then you can also go to my website, prism-healing. That's prism, like as in colors of the rainbow, prism-healing.com, to book private sessions with me. That is a Reiki session. You can do a emotional process session, which I've mentioned many times and is very incredibly powerful healing. I also do intuitive card readings if you're looking to get a little bit of clarity and get some answers to your questions, and many other services that I provide there on my website. So please come visit me on my website, because I have a lot to offer and I am here for you. I would love to have you private message me any of these questions on these platforms, any of your questions on these platforms about magic, healing, energy. And it might be featured on a future episode as a question from a listener. So please write in your questions. I would love to hear from you. All right. I am so excited to hear from you. I'm so excited to talk to you, and I'm so excited to spend this time with you. So go do magic, witches and wizards. We'll see you next time.